Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Fantasy, the podcast for all those complex and complicated conversations about the gray areas in our lives. I'm entertainment journalist Travell Anderson.
And I'm Jared Hill, a politics and pop culture journalist. And coming up on the show today...
This deep breath.
Listen, it hurts me to do this because it's someone that I love, but I'm also so challenged by. I'm not going to like act like it's a secret. You have clicked on the podcast button. You know that we are talking about the one and only Miss Wendy Joan Williams. She's getting the Fantai treatment today. Plus, we'll tell you about the colossal marketing fail related to Black History Month that has Harriet Tubman turning in her grave. Let me tell you, I was so heated about this.
The disrespect.
It was. We'll get into that with our dishonorable mentions.
But
a little
first,
bit later.
We've got to introduce our guest for this week's episode. You know her, you love her, and if you don't, you should.
You will.
Okay. Entertainment journalist and host Shar Jocell.
Oh my goodness. This is fun. This is comfortable. I'm your first guest.
Yes, you are. Welcome.
Blessing the Fantai.
If you guys are not familiar with Shar, you can follow her on the social medias at Shar Says So. Shar is S-H-A-R.
Thank you, Jared.
We'll make sure to include that in the episode description.
Shar with an S. Thank yes. you, Jared.
Shar, we want you to tell the people a little bit about yourself, and I want you to do that by asking this one question.
Okay.
Okay, that I sometimes ask in my interviews.
Okay.
You know, if you are a love child of three people... Ooh. Who are those three people?
First of all, I love that there's a good party that starts out whatever this description is.
Okay, three people.
Yes.
I would definitely say Oprah Gail Winfrey mm-hmm. of Kosciuszko, Mississippi. I think that's how you pronounce it. I would also say there is a hint of, you know, our problematic fave we're discussing today.
Which is why you're here.
Wendy Joan Williams of Asbury Park, Ocean Township, New Jersey. And
yeah, we're social. She's like 213-88.
And I don't know, who would the third person be? This is tough because there's a lot of people that I love, especially when it comes to like professionally. Mm-hmm. Like I love, you know, the Diane Sawyers and the Stephanopoulos and the Gibson and the Roberts.
It needs to be a hard news journalist. Which Char's been on my radio show multiple times, and she would always like dedicate her appearance to a different journalist that day.
Yes.
But you've been really into Anna Navarro. On The View.
Yes, I'm going to say Anna Navarro. Even though I am not a Republican, I do enjoy Anna. And it is a nod to my position at radio.com because I'm like the permanent rotating.
She's our guest host over at Channel Q quite a bit.
Yeah. It's like Anna's not on The View every day, but when she's on, you know she's on.
You know
that's kind of like me when I'm on that platform. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we're so glad to have you joining us. And it's perfect because we've got a new segment that we'd love to you to participate in. If you're going to jump in with us. It's called A Tough Question. And it's an opportunity for us to grapple with questions that don't really have a right or wrong answer, or it's at least not the easiest one to come to an easy conclusion with. So my question is about, this was me today. I got off a plane and got home and like I haven't really slept well in the last 2 days. And I spent the last 2 hours before leaving to come here trying to pick up my attitude. And, like, mm-hmm. I felt myself, like, slumping, and I was like, oh, you really have, like, an asshole spirit right now. Mm. And I want to know, how do you guys handle when you know that you have to go turn it on and you know that you're not feeling it? I put out a tweet, and people were like, Daryl Stevens, who is the iconic
The
Noah,
legendary.
The legendary Noah mm-hmm. from Noah's Ark. He just put, like, three trees, and I was like, I love you. but I'm curious, like, do you guys feel like you have to pick up your spirits to go be with other people or to go perform it? Mm. Or do you just let it rock?
Well, personally, I try to have caffeine. Like when I'm feeling low or angsty, this just happened to me like maybe 2 weeks ago. I ended up having to text one of my friends and coworkers and I apologized to him. Not that I did anything, but I just felt like I was particularly angsty and complaining that mm-hmm. day. But I literally felt it in the moment. I just couldn't stop myself. Mm. But when the mic was hot, it was time to be, you know, Shar says so,
yes.
you know. But just overall, I find that caffeine really helps. But I mean, the pendulum could swing either way. It'll either really help me or make me feel like jittery, like super jittery.
Okay.
But just to pick me up, there's no way that I would be doing what Daryl does with the three trees because I don't become productive uh-huh. when I'm in that. Like I'm slumping yeah. even further. But it's just like, I just try to do like a hard reset and acknowledge, like, are you talking about like when you step into like professional spaces and you need to pick
yeah.
yourself up? Yeah, the way that I see it, I try to think of things like this might be my last time doing a show. Mm-hmm. Not in like a morbid way, but in that this industry changes so quickly.
Yeah.
Like you just never know if you're doing a show on Friday and then you're canceled Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, let me sit in this. This is a great responsibility. This is a great platform. I got a mic in front of me and people are listening. So, or people are watching depending on what I'm doing. So those are my little tips.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like sugar is one of my things. I also put on some gospel music, you know, just to, you know, Encourage Yourself by Donna Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers. You know, it
now,
just
that is a song.
Give me a moment to just recollect myself,
that
you know.
Is a song.
But do you feel an obligation to turn on the personality?
Yes.
Yeah.
The girls are paying for Travell Anderson.
Yeah. Listen, honey. Well, that's what I keep saying to myself, like, honey, the kids are coming to the show because you told them to come
Listen,
to the show.
Okay. Yeah.
So put on the show.
Put on the
but
show.
But then I also think to myself, like, well, you know what? Like, this is how I feel today. And, like, maybe I should be authentic and honest about that.
Well, I've started doing this thing when, like, you know, because everybody always asks you, how you doing today? I've started doing this thing where, like, if I'm not doing good, I don't say I'm doing good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll be like, I've been. They'd be like, how you doing? I've been.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just where I am.
I always say I'm doing okay.
I'm doing okay.
I'm okay.
Like, I'm not, I think there's a difference between, I think, like, lying to myself in order to appease people or not, like, make people uncomfortable. And then there's a difference in, you know, sometimes you just gotta turn on the brand because the brand is getting a check to be here.
And sometimes, oftentimes, if you have to turn on the brand, it can change your mood to when you're done, you feel better.
You're faking it until you make it.
Or you're heading home, like, much like myself,
and
getting something really greasy, really fatty, and shutting the blinds and grabbing the remote.
Listen, yes.
Like, that's been my go-to.
It's often nachos for me. All right. A tough question in the future is something that you can send in to us. If you think you have a good one for us, give us a holla on the social medias, and you can call in or send us a voice message, however you want. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into this fan tie with our very special guest, Char Jocelle, and Miss Wendy Joan Williams.
Don't go How anywhere. You do
that? That we'll get into
Lord,
that,
Lord, have mercy.
Hey, everyone. It's John Hodgman of the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
And I, Elliot Kalin of the Flophouse podcast.
And we've made a whole new podcast, a 12-episode special mini-series called iPodius, in which we recap, discuss, and explore the very famous 1976 BBC miniseries about ancient Rome called I, Claudius. We've got incredible guests such as Gillian Jacobs, Paul F. Tompkins, as well as star of I, Claudius, Sir Patrick Stewart, and his son, non-Sir Daniel Stewart.
Don't worry, Dan, you'll get there someday.
iPodius is the name of the show. Every week from MaximumFun.org for only 12 weeks. Get them at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. We are getting into our fanti topic of the week. It's me, Jarrett, Char Jocelle here. We, I think, all here love Wendy Williams.
I just want to say, though, like, this happens because we had another show planned for this week.
Yes.
And
as we always do.
As we always do. And then there was a text message. It was like, fanti Wendy Williams. And you're like, of course. And it's like, you can't not do this one.
Well, because she's in the news right now, right? Because of some of her recent comments she made on the show that some people are calling yet another example of her homophobia and transphobia. Last week, in talking about Galentine's Day, she said, you know, there are some things that, like, women should keep to themselves.
Just so people know, Galentine's Day was started on Parks and Recreation. It's the day before Valentine's Day. It's where the girls go hang out with their girlfriends and, like, kind of get to hang out. But Wendy's comment had something to say about women hanging out and included something about men.
Clap if you're participating in Galentine's Day. Well, first of all, if you're a man and you're clapping, you're not even a part of this, okay? All right, you don't even understand the rules of the day. It's women going out and getting saucy.
Can we stop here? I was okay up until this point.
As was I, because I literally had taken this clip and I just like literally up until that point, I was watching Hot Topics that morning and I had a Galentine's Day brunch that I attended that previous Sunday. And there was one guy there. Shout out to Kendall. He showed up and I was trolling him the whole time.
Oh, hey,
like,
Kendall.
What are you doing here?
Right.
This is for the girls.
This
you
is
know,
for
like,
the girls.
Granted, like, it was all women. It was like a table. It was 14 mm-hmm. of us. And then Kendall was like a surprise. I showed up fashionably late. So I hit the corner and I see him and I said, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
So I did it in jest. But as I saw, as the clip unfolded, I literally ended up deleting the tweet because I was just disgusted.
Yeah. Okay, so let's let her finish.
Okay.
I don't care if you're gay. You don't get a Menci every 28 days, all right?
Those claps are a little dry. You see, it was a slow build to that.
Yes, you hear her,
You can do a lot that we do, but I get offended by the idea that we go through something you will never go through. And stop wearing our skirts and our heels.
Oh, wait a minute.
Just saying, girls, what do we have for ourselves?
Sis. Okay, so the day after that show aired, social media lit up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because she was being called homophobic. Potentially.
Well, it happened that day.
Yeah,
social
that day.
Media
yeah.
lit up.
Yeah, that day. And she ended up posting an apology on Instagram. I think important for the context Jarrett mentioned is that she didn't address it on the show because Friday shows are pre-taped
yeah.
on
yeah.
Thursdays, right? Mm-hmm. But she posted this like 2-minute apology video on Instagram addressing it all.
I'll start by saying I apologize. I did not mean to offend my LGBTQ+ community.
That Q was hesitant.
On yesterday's show. One thing that I can tell you right now is that I never do the show in a place of malice. I understand my platform with the community from first grade to
girl,
intermediate what? School to high school to college to radio and now to TV. And
getting choked up.
I didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just having a conversation. If you know me long enough, then you know. Bon vivant.
That part kills
me. That means, but it sounds fabulous. In my mind, it means live and let live. Bon vivant. And I live and let live every day. Life is too short. I'm 55 years old, and maybe I sounded like your auntie, your mother, your big sister, or somebody out of touch. I'm not out of touch, except for perhaps yesterday, by saying what I said. So I deeply apologize, and I deeply appreciate the support that I get from the community. I will do better.
Okay, so a couple of things, because there are many. So
bon
first of all,
vivant.
Bon vivant does not mean live and let live. It means a person who enjoys a sociable and luxurious lifestyle. I'm going to pretend like I knew that off the top of my head and didn't look it up. That's not important. Number two, one of the things she says in here is, if you know me long enough, which gave me pause because it really is the basis of this entire conversation that we're
yes.
going to have. Because if you know her long enough, you know that this is not the first time we've had this conversation.
And I do want to add that this week, just this, well, this will air on a Thursday,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the last few days, Wendy has been in the news
again
for problematic things
yes,
that she
absolutely.
Said. Just on Monday's show, she was criticized for making what appeared to be making a joke about Amy Harwick.
Mm-hmm.
She was murdered, Drew Carey's ex-fiance.
Right.
She was murdered, and Wendy kind of made like a tasteless kind of like jab joke.
Yeah.
And so people are furious with her right now, and it's hard to defend. It's becoming harder
to defend her,
to give her the grace and the space, because there's really no excuse. She has a 30-plus year in broadcasting.
Yeah, well,
career.
So before we get into, like, the long history of mishaps, missteps, misspeakings,
and
all
yeah.
of that, Char, tell us a little bit about your relationship to Wendy Williams. You mentioned that, like, she's one of the people that, like,
yeah,
you know, you
so,
kind of look up to.
So for me, I was not really on board with Radio Wendy.
Okay.
And in fairness, I grew up in Chicago, so I did not have access to the radio station that she was on, but I was really exposed to her through YouTube clips.
Mm-hmm.
There would be people that would listen in on her radio show and literally post it online. And I think it came up as like a suggestion. And of course, she had like that VH1 show. Like, I followed certain things in her career, but she was never my cup of tea. Okay.
Gotcha.
I was still Live Your Best Life TV, very Oprah Winfrey, Harpo Studios on Washington Boulevard in Chicago. But when Wendy launched into TV and I saw the 6-week sneak peek and the exchange with Omarosa, I was like, wait, now hold on now.
Baby, that Omarosa interview was something else.
A moment.
Oh, no, I know how to chill, but I will not be disrespected.
Okay. This is not the time for you to look for your moment. I invited you here.
Oh, I know how to find my moment.
Which is I understand.
And so she's kind of slowly kind of just built on, like, she's grown on me. And I have met her on two separate occasions. Right before I left Chicago to move to Los Angeles, she was on a book tour promoting one of her, like, I think it was
Ask
like
Wendy.
A novel. No, Ask Wendy had already come out, but it was a novel. Remember, she wrote like a romance novel in 2014. Mm-hmm. And I got a chance to meet her. And I just was at her star ceremony for the Walk of Fame back in October.
Yeah.
I did a whole video on my YouTube channel about it. So my relationship with her has been complicated in that I do have my issues with her sometimes, but I always end up coming back because she's just so entertaining to me and she's so funny, but she's never really said anything that has left a huge dent in my opinion.
Yeah.
I know that's subjective, but you know, like a huge dent, it will for the moment or for the week. But it's like, you know, this news cycle moves too fast.
Right.
Travelle, what's your relationship to Wendy?
You know, I think that I think similarly. I didn't know who the heck this woman was from the radio days. I remember watching the VH1 show and just being like enamored by this like hood broad, as I saw it, right? Because she had the horrible wigs. She's
5'11".
Listen, okay?
Big bosom, loud mouth.
Doing a lot.
Doing a lot.
Okay? And I remember that. And then the 6-week sneak peek, I just remember being enthralled by kind of the campiness of the show, of the set design.
Leopard print everywhere.
It was just like this.
Pink
who's letting this
and,
woman have a show on TV? But I liked it because it was something different, right? It was something different. Oh, the wig notes? Yes.
Oh, I missed the wig notes
from the early seasons. Yeah. Oh my God, it was just something fresh. I think on that daytime talk thing that we weren't getting anywhere else. And then to know that like she had an actual journalism background, that she had like put in the work, and then you know,
or at least a broadcast degree.
I read her her autobiography. All of this, and I was just like, interesting. Like this seems like someone that you like can potentially aspire to in a particular way.
Yeah.
What about you? For you.
I remember seeing her on the 6-week sneak peek, and I can't remember if I'd seen the Wendy Whitney interview before or not, like on YouTube, you know, everyone's
you had to have.
Heard that clip.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like I'd seen that before, but I don't know if I made the connection immediately.
Okay.
And then I remember Whitney dying and Wendy talking about that on the show and had, like, I remember, like, there's so many little things. Like, if she were to pull a wig out of her wig on this week's show, like, I'd probably feel like, oh my God, sentimental. But like, I remember, like, her with the mirror with her face on the back of it, like, that kind of stuff.
The
like,
after shows.
The after
I loved
show,
the after
I used to
shows.
Love the after show. And so Wendy started to feel like someone in my family. She felt so familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't feel like my mom because my mom is so completely different. But like even my mom loves Wendy, right? And so Wendy always felt like a relative. She felt someone that was very familiar. And she still kind of feels that way, which is why I think we give her the passes that we do sometimes.
Yeah.
I think she sometimes comes across as so familiar that you want to forgive her, but you're also not quite sure if you should keep letting her come back.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting to me, though, is like, I want to start off like where people begin with Wendy, which is, how you doing? And like, it's the international, you know, greeting of Wendy Williams. But if we really get into it, like, how you doing? Was like mad homophobic when it started, right? Like, how you doing started out as a way of like calling someone's tea. And now it's like a whole different thing. Because like when I use it, I'm never using it to ask how you're doing. I'm asking it now like to address tea, not like outing someone. But this was used to out people, right?
And if I'm not mistaken, she introduced the how you doing of it all when she was in Philadelphia. Because I think she was like doing like a skit or something, pretending to be a gay man. I could be wrong, but I know that it wasn't introduced in New York.
Yeah.
But aside from that, how you doing is just fun to say.
It is.
Like, it is
it
very
is.
Fun to
it
say.
Is.
But
you,
it does
you dim
have
your eyes and you spread the lip.
Yes. How you doing?
Like it's fun and like it's cute and it's familiar and like.
But it does have problematic history.
It does.
But I feel like it's been rebranded in certain regards.
We love a reclamation.
I mean, right? It's very it's bitch, right? It's nigga. Right. Yeah. It's like all of those different things where people have it's had one thing and now it means something else. But like its origin is not cute, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that even kind of. If people are talking about like the history of like homophobia or transphobia or like other problematic things, like How You Doin' did not begin as something that was okay for everybody.
Right. No. She trolled Diddy for years, but they've made up. I still don't think she and LL Cool J have made up because she trolled him for years with gay rumors on the radio and was, you know, doing the How You Doin' affectation.
And then I think the biggest kind of situation of that is probably the Whitney Houston.
Whitney and Robin.
Which
situation.
Is why Robin being on the show was such a big deal in the last couple of months when Robin came out with the
amazing.
Book about. Yeah, it was one of those full circle moments for sure.
Yeah.
To have Robin on. And like for Robin to say like, no, we wanted to find you and fight you in the street.
And they're not
then.
The only ones.
Absolutely.
Because Wendy almost got jumped by Total. It'll be in the movie this upcoming.
Right.
It will.
Yes.
Yeah, Total. And none of her coworkers gave her the heads up. They let Wendy walk down. Remember, they were peeping out the window.
That's
waiting for Kima, Keisha, and Pam to roll up. And
they were not with the shits.
Yeah, they were tired
of
her, too.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting because, like, you know, we mentioned kind of the most recent mishap that she had with the comment about gay men wearing you know heels and skirts, and then the comment about Drew Carey's ex being murdered, and then but you know that's not the first time that she's made like these questionable you know comments. I remember there was a moment back in 2014 she was doing the Hot Talk panel, and one of the stories was about this CrossFit athlete who is trans. And at the time, I mean, we should again say it's 2014. A lot of people had a variety of thoughts about trans people in 2014 that they perhaps no longer have.
Sure.
Due to greater education and all of
and
that.
And exposure.
But she made some comments that people were like, okay, that's supremely problematic.
There's a transgender woman and her name is Chloe Johnson. And she was... And she was set to compete in the CrossFit Games, which is a strength competition aimed at determining the fitness of men and women. Well, Chloe had her sexual reassignment surgery already, and that was back in 2006, and is legally recognized as a woman. But CrossFit won't allow her to compete as a female because they feel as though she has an unfair advantage. So Chloe is suing them, and I happen to agree with those of you who said, yes, it is an unfair advantage. Lynn, we're gonna come right to you, but since they're saying yes, I'm just gonna tell you, I agree this is an unfair advantage. You know, you can take away the female parts or male parts or whatever it is. It's like-
There was a lot of commentary on this. You want to jump in, Char?
I do, because what I find so funny is when I was gathering my own information for this show, she specifically points out that, you know, Chloe had gender confirmation surgery, and she's still, Wendy was alluding to how she's still not, I guess, a woman in Wendy's eyes. But in 2016, she insinuated that Caitlyn Jenner was not a woman because she, quote, still has a member.
Right.
And this is when Wendy, I don't know if you all remember when the entire Kardashian clan covered Cosmopolitan magazine. This was in fall of 2016. And she was making jokes because Caitlyn was not on the cover.
Yeah.
So it's like, what is it? Is it Uchiwali or is it One Mike Wendy? Like, I mean, if you're going to...
I literally thought you were going to say Uchiwali or Bang Bang.
Right.
I was like, I don't know what that means,
no,
but it works.
It's a Nas joke. Like, like, which is it? Because it's like, if you are calling trans women, or if you are dismissing non-op or pre-op or however women choose to identify as not women, but then they go and get a confirmation surgery for themselves and they're still not, like, what is it, Wendy?
What is it? Yeah, it was interesting because she did apologize on Twitter. This is back in
the 140. Well, we've been calling it
Tweetpology. Tweetpology. This is back when it was 140 characters. And she was like, you know, I didn't mean to offend when discussing trans. It was 140 characters, so as I read this, keep that in mind.
it was incredibly brief. Yeah.
Yes. Didn't mean to offend when discussing transgender topic. I'm a long LGBT ally and glad supporter, and will use this to be educated on the T.
So, okay, this is interesting to me because I feel like this is 2014, right? It was a different time for us. Like
pre-Caitlyn Jenner, pre-Laverne Cox, right, pre-transgender tipping point.
Which
all of
really
that.
Started to really change the conversation on the national
yes.
narrative.
Well, Laverne
perspective.
Was out. Orange was out.
It was around then. It had just come out. So, but what's interesting to me is this is. I keep wondering if this is transphobia or ignorance, right? And like we had this conversation with another, I think with Kevin Hart, was this homophobia or ignorance? And like, does it matter? Because I know for myself, the idea of sports has always been like this interesting gray area to me of like, well, how does that work, right? And I think that plenty of people listening right now will probably be like, well, I mean, I'm down, but like, I don't know how I feel about that. And like having more conversation about this, I think it's important for people to understand how that works in sports, and it's not just like because there's a spectrum that comes with being transgender, and you can explain this much better than I can, but there's like a declaration of being transgender, right? And then there's like a legal level of being transgender as well, and there's a gulf between those two things, and there was no like understanding of that in this conversation.
Yeah, it just because transness is so specifically nuanced to that individual, it led me to believe that this Chloe woman had proclaimed herself socially and, you know, I guess medically a trans woman or a woman. I don't know how she identifies, but for her to get, like I said, the confirmation surgery, for me, that implies certain things about her identity.
Right.
So it seemed like Wendy was robbing her of that. We don't know her statistics. We don't know. What if this girl hadn't been winning anything?
Right.
But because she's trans, you automatically assume that she has an advantage, which is not always the case with trans athletes. And I wish I could remember the name of the documentary. I screened a documentary with
Changing
Glad.
The Game.
Yes. Thank you. You were there, right?
I got you.
Changing the Game was fascinating to me because even as a trans person, watching that documentary, just it taught me a lot about trans bodies in sports.
From a scientific
sports.
Perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a competition type thing. Yes. Well, you'd be surprised.
So when we were putting the show together, Travelle and I had a conversation about this because I was like, I think there is this idea for people that are not a part of community that everyone under the LGBTQ umbrella has the same experience and we all get it, right? But like, I know for myself, like I was not sure how that worked with sports and that and kind of understanding like there is a spectrum of like where you are in the trans experience. I don't know if a spectrum is the right word, but maybe there's a journey. We'll call it that way, because like if we're looking at Zaya Wade, for instance, right? Zaya came and told her parents that she wants to use she/her pronouns. We don't know if Zaya identifies as trans or not, but if she does, like she's at the declaration phase, right? Like she's not at the phase where like it would be quite legal yet, so like she couldn't maybe go play in female sports or something like that. So like there is it's not like you declare that you're trans today and then tomorrow you can go play in opposite gender
typically if I'm not mistaken, because I
mean
it's
gender sports,
it's been so long but if I'm not mistaken, if you identify as within the binary of transness, you have to have like been on hormone replacement therapy for a year in order to do certain things or be living as said presented gender for a year in order to, but that doesn't factor into, I'm speaking socially, that doesn't factor into athlete.
Right, yeah, because there's some, biological implications for
it. Well, I mean, I think what I come down to it on this whole topic, and, you know, it is that, you know, if you believe, if you say you believe that trans women are women, then why can't they be women in sports too?
Yeah.
You know, if you believe trans men are men, if you believe that, right, which a lot of people love to
say. It's performative.
You know, a lot of people
like to
say.
And that's shown up in a lot of the Zaya Wade discourse.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, we should also say it was also interesting with this situation with Wendy because just a couple of days prior to the comment about Galentine's Day and the gay men in heels.
No, that was one day.
One day before.
That was the show before.
She was applauding Zaya. She
in
was
tears.
Tearing up.
Yeah.
Good for her for figuring out who she, at least that lane of who she wants to be. Now, the rest of life is a whole nother story. But at least she's got that. And a supportive mother and father. You know what I mean? And for those of you who don't understand it or don't like it, don't say anything. This is a child who's figured out more about her life than we have when we were 12. Okay?
And then 24 hours later, and I should also note, hearkening back to that Twitter apology, if you remember the week prior, it just clicked what she got in trouble for when she was making fun of Joker, Joaquin Phoenix's cleft lip.
The lip, yes.
And
got
she
in trouble
said,
for that, yes.
This all happened within like a 2-week span.
Listen, so, she keeps putting her foot in her mouth.
So there are multiple reasons that that the anti-part of Fanti comes in, right? So like homophobic things, transphobic things. Another one of the things that has made me watch Wendy less is like, her facts be fucked up. Like,
the preparedness is lacking.
Exactly, right? The facts and the names just be fucked up. And
thank
like,
God for Norman.
And I feel bad for Norman because, like, Norman can't just shout out every time, that ain't her name. Yeah. You know what I mean? For 2012. Like, you can't do it every time. So it's like, what is Norman supposed to do? But, like, these facts just be dead ass wrong. And it's like, I know that a Hot Topics producer told you this in the meeting. I know that they did.
Yeah. But I think that's one of the things that has become part of the brand of Wendy Williams.
I do as well.
You know?
Because it feels intentional in certain aspects. But yeah. With certain topics, it feels genuine. Others, it feels literally intent. Like, Wendy, now you know damn well you know so-and-so's
so
name.
I'm okay with her fucking up on names, right? Like, my mom loves to mispronounce somebody's name. Mom, I'm sure you're listening. Love you. But you know that you mess up people's names. And, like, it's actually become a joke between us, right? And there's, like, that's relatively harmless, right? Unless you're, like, misgendering someone and that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But like when you're getting like the facts of a story wrong, that is really a problem because you're Wendy Williams. You're on television in 150 some odd countries. What you're saying goes out into the world and becomes fact for people. In the same way that we talk about that with the President of the United States, the same way we talk about that with media, the same way we talk about it with all these different things. And part of like why we try to do such a good job here on like making sure we're clear on what we're talking about. So like that's been a big problem for me. Another thing with Wendy is like she's had some anti-Black shit to say. And that kind of, that really kind of stung with me. And I was like, I remember she was talking about HBCUs and she had a comment that got her into some real trouble.
You know, I would be really offended if there was a school that was known as an historically white college.
Oh, girl.
We have historically Black colleges.
The lack of range.
What if there was the N National Organization for White People only? There's the NAACP. National, by the way, what is the C? Colored? We're still using colored? Like, I get, look, everybody's quiet. Okay? You're leaving me out here to hang to dry by myself.
Because you sound like a fool, sis.
Well, because
you know what?
If you watch, like, because when we're going through all of these clips, like, if you play, like, another minute of this clip, she spends a lot of time trying to, like, pull back what she just said because she sees the audience as like, nah, sis, I ain't with you on that one.
I saw someone, it was a funny tweet about Wendy saying that this was from a Black woman saying that they've always viewed Wendy as like the white Black girl from the suburbs that's trying to be down.
Yes.
And they believe that that's what propelled her, you know, trying to psychoanalyze her, but they said that's what propelled her into like substance abuse and things because she's always been trying to mask that she thinks that she might be better than type thing. It was an interesting tweet thread.
Well, that
like, they're like, I've never looked at her as strictly like Auntie Wendy. She always seems like a white woman who's trying to be down.
Mm. I mean, I could kind of see that perspective. I just feel like Wendy
had the tweet.
The things with the things about this is like it is so tone deaf to the time, right? Like,
yeah. Well, she also recently had the comments about Beyonce and Jay-Z in her
Ivy Park dress.
Basically, this was after the Super Bowl. Beyonce and Jay-Z didn't stand up for the national anthem, and this is what she had to say.
Jay-Z and Beyonce, you understand all eyes are on you, and you should have stood up. If you don't like our country, then anywho, let's move on.
Important piece of information there. Jay-Z did an interview with Jelani Cobb later on in the week, and he was saying, like, it wasn't that we didn't stand up for the national anthem. Like, something else was going on, and, like, we didn't end up standing, and then we kind of realized later, like, oh, we didn't stand. It wasn't like we were, like, boycotting the national anthem because, like, I was at work. Like, this is an NFL event. I work here. But to be clear, like, the idea of if you don't like our country, you can go back
home.
What
in the Make America Great Again?
You know what
I mean? Hell is going on,
Wendy.
I was
like, does she have a MAGA hat on? Like, what black person says that to another black person
during Black History Month?
And I remember exactly, right? Exactly. And like when she made the HBCU NAACP comment, like Roland Martin like dragged her for that and ended up coming on the show. They had a whole conversation about it. But like sometimes the anti-blackness like really jumps out and you're like, whoa.
People have been critical that she that and I don't have the receipts to support this. I'm going off of some of the critiques that I've seen online, that Wendy is hyper critical of black women. And she lets like the Lisa Vanderpump pumps and the Vicky Gundelson, you know, when she's like talking housewives and stuff, she lets a lot of white women slide, allegedly.
So then
why do we keep coming back to Wendy Williams? Because that's what ultimately what this conversation's about, right? Yeah. We love her, but we also got a lot of problems with her. But like,
clear,
I'm still tuning in.
I think that the reason that we continue to come back is because, like, as we started to kind of say earlier, like the fucked up facts and the wrong ass names are like part of like her like ditzy auntie thing that she does, and we kind of allow it. And like, I also want to acknowledge, like, every time one of these major things has happened, Wendy has come back and apologized.
Or her publicist has through Twitter. She does not use social media at all.
Exactly. Right. But like, apologies are always great, but like, sometimes great. But it's not necessarily like, I want you to be sorry for saying it. It's like, I have a real challenge with the way that you think about me.
Change behavior.
Right.
It's
I have
the
a
best
problem
apology.
With the way that you think about gay people. I have a problem with the way that you think about trans folks. I have a problem with the way that you look at gay at black people. I have a problem with the way that you address different issues. And so it's really about the way that you think. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where the problem continues to come in.
She's not scripted. She doesn't have. She always brags that she is just her in that purple chair. Maybe you need a panel of women to kind of wheel you back
in. You know,
in.
Maybe. Or maybe.
Or come scoop and save.
I feel like with the further incorporation of Norman, he's supposed to be kind of that, you know.
And
that
I've become endeared to Norman. He's a fellow Chicagoan.
I think
on the Instagram. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Yeah. Like he's earned a follower for me. Yeah.
I like his inclusion in the show because he does serve sometimes as a sort of counterweight. But ultimately, it's the Wendy Williams show.
That is true.
Right? And even when he's trying to like pull her back, or the woman in her ear is trying to say, allegedly girl, allegedly
the
girl, allegedly
upstairs.
Girl, she's getting upset that she's got to say allegedly. And it's like, sis, what is going on? I want to share, we sent out video messages and tweets and all these social media stuff to people telling folks that we were going to do Wendy Williams.
You sound like you're 65.
I am what I am.
I mean, listen. Look at the material.
This woman, she's going to hate me. I forgot your name, sis. I think we went to high school together, but she follows me on Instagram _IEducate. She says, it's time for sis to either start talking about real news or get off the screen. Ooh. She never genuinely supported us enough to be considered auntie status. With Shade Room, Bossip, and all the other gossips, she's no longer needed. She almost had us when her divorce stuff came out, but she did nothing with the traction and is back to regular Wendy. She should possibly go back to radio.
Shelby on Instagram says, hang it up.
Flat screen.
Another problem.
She says she's just looking to start drama. She should just be the spokesperson for Spill the Tea. And I'm like, I don't know about that part, but like, I mean, I do think we're kind of getting to a point where it might be like, you might need to consider
because
doing
the culture
else.
And the conversation at large is just shifting. Mm-hmm. And I'd venture to say I don't think that there's room for another Wendy to come up in kind of like the way that Tamron has kind of come up after Oprah.
Yeah.
The Tamron Hall show, at least in my opinion, because Tamron does a great job of mixing newsmakers with celebrities, much like the Oprah show. I don't know if there's room with the way that the culture is going for another Wendy, specifically being black.
Yeah.
Coming up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it does.
Is there room for Wendy to sustain, though? Like, so many people have these complex feelings about her, but I'm wondering, like, if the people that are actually tuning in every day that are contributing to the ratings. Excuse me. Ooh, there I go burping again.
Wow.
Just like Wendy. I said, just like Wendy.
But are the people that are watching every day that are contributing to the ratings that are the reasons why she keeps getting picked up, do they have these feelings that we have?
I think so to a degree. Only because, like, for me, what's keeping me in with Wendy is, like, the personal aspect. Like, someone just brought up, your classmate brought up the divorce. Mm-hmm. I feel like that softened everyone because there were even her talk show peers wishing her luck with that because we all know that story. That's such a familiar story when it comes
to
marriages.
I've never been so happy to see someone getting a divorce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was, like, thrilled to hear that.
Because nobody liked Kevin.
Hot girl summer.
Nobody liked. And she did have a very, very hot girl summer, but I think it's those personal personal aspects. Like I said, I loved the after show, being in her office. You know, she's doing the Ask Wendy while she, you know, eating her snacks and stuff. So I feel like that would be the only thing, because the commentary is...
I feel like we've all been rooting for Wendy because she's, like, emotionally open, and we've seen her through her divorce.
How dare you! Ooh, another one.
We've seen, like, I always love, like, when she has an emotional moment coming through those doors and hearing Wendy and, like, knowing, like, this was a dream for her that's come true. I love that. She's had various, like, health moments happen on the show.
Lymphedema.
Yeah. She's passed out on the show.
Thyroid.
Maybe that's why we still love her. Is because we've kind of seen her grow throughout the, 11, 12 years that the show has been going.
That Halloween faint scared me. Like, I had tears in my eyes.
No, it was very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
Everyone was calling and texting each other. Okay, before we wrap up this topic, we want to know what your thoughts are. So you can tweet at us or hit us on Instagram at Fanti Podcast. We want to shout out to some of the feedback from last week's episode. We talked with y'all about the foolishness around Gayle King and Kobe Bryant and why some of y'all were so wrong. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have your feedback and we'll get into dishonorable mentions.
Hey, you've reached Dr. Game Show. Leave your message after the beep.
Hi, this is Sarah, and I'd like to tell you about Dr. Game Show. Dr. Game Show is a band of geniuses, or nerds, or brilliant artists, or kids, or some combination of all of those, who get together to make a show like no other that's family-friendly. It's an interactive call-in game show podcast. When I found Dr. Game Show, I found joy. I told my friends and family that if they weren't listening, they were wasting joy. I sent them the episodes that made me laugh until I cried, played it for them in the car. They laughed, too, laughed their butts off. But they still don't listen on their own, so they're wasting joy. And I keep looking for someone to understand me. Maybe it's you. Give Dr. Game Show a listen and find joy.
Listen to Dr. Game Show on Maximum Fun. New episodes every other Wednesday.
Welcome back to Fanti. We are getting into your feedback. So we've heard from a lot of you about the Gayle King, Kobe Bryant episode. I want to make sure that we get in this one clip from Alex Haynes, who sent us a voice note. Take a listen.
The number one rule of journalism is to report the story, cover the story, do not become the story. By going live, Gayle took the spotlight off of the story, off of the interview, off of Kobe Bryant, and onto herself. And that is what entertainers do. So if there's any beef that I had with Gayle as a journalist, it's that. So much more to say, but not enough time. Guys, keep it up.
Interesting.
I disagree with him on this, because I feel like that was a rule of journalism that, like, predated social media. And I feel like when everyone is attacking you, you can say something to defend yourself.
You know what this reminded me of? Am I the story? Shout out to Bombshell.
I'm the story. Yes. I'm the story. Yeah. Yes. All right.
Well, thank you so much, sir, ma'am, thems, for him. Giving us your feedback. We really appreciate it. We're going to hop into our dishonorable and honorable mentions right now. This is a section of the show where we just highlight, you know, a little couple things that we just want to, you know, either call them out or maybe call them in for some good things that they've done. Jared, what are your dishonorable mentions and honorable mentions?
Okay, so my dishonorable mention is going to One United Bank for this sad attempt at honoring Harriet Tubman. Jesus, I think y'all were trying to respond to her not being on the 20, but holy God, did y'all fuck up with this one. Like, like, Harriet Tubman is on the cover of a credit card giving the Wakanda sign with the crossed arms, and it is wrong, and her lips look dry as hell. Everything about this is wrong. One United, she's turning over in her grave.
It's supposed to be
one.
Abstract.
No, the arms
are mismatched too.
It was badboots.com.
It was off.
My honorable mention is going to the 45th president of the 44th president of the United States of America. You may know him as Barack Obama. He had this tweet that he put out on President's Day, which just really touched my little spirit, like, in just such a special way, because it was President's Day. He don't tweet a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
He don't have a whole lot to say about a whole lot of different things, but he did tweet, quote, 11 years ago today, near the bottom of the worst recession in generations, I signed the Recovery Act, paving the way for more than a decade of economic growth and the longest streak of job creation in American history. And it pissed Donald Trump off. I added that last part. And it just touched my spirit in such a special way, because it was so petty and, like, unnecessary, but, like, also very professional. So shout out to Barack Obama.
Char, you got some honorable mentions, dishonorable mentions for us?
Yes. So my honorable mention, I just started this last night and I have one more episode to go. But Apple TV Plus, Visible Out on Television is such a good documentary. It's 5 parts. It was released last Friday on Valentine's Day.
I didn't realize it was 5 parts. I thought it was just like one documentary.
No, it is 5 and it is good. It is really, really good. So it explores the evolution and the history of American LGBTQ plus representation in TV and film. And it features archival footage and interviews from a few of our faves like Billy Porter and Ellen DeGeneres and MJ Rodriguez. It's directed by Ryan White and narrated by Janet Mock, Margaret Cho, Neil Patrick Harris, and Lena Waithe. So, and also Wanda Sykes and Wilson Cruz and Jessica Hargrave have executively produced it. So I love this. And then also Dwayne Wade. I have not seen it yet, but he has a new documentary coming out on Sunday, February 23rd at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. And it's going to chronicle, they got all this footage. I mean, I don't care about the basketball stuff, but Zaya's going to be in it. So it's going to have
Zaya. I love that you're watching a Dwayne Wade documentary.
On ESPN.
Like, I don't care about the basketball. But...
On ESPN. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Zaya and Gabby are going to be in it, and we're going to delve more. He was on Good Morning America Tuesday morning, and he said, he told Robin Roberts that he had Zaya's consent, and it's the green light. And so we're going to learn more about her, and I'm excited about that.
Alrighty. Well, you had a dishonorable mention as well.
Oh, just really quickly, Mike Bloomberg. You know, by the time this airs, the debate in Vegas would have happened, and I'm just sick of him. I'm sick of the ads. I really could go in. It's just things are really confusing right now, and I found myself on Tuesday morning actually siding with Meghan McCain. She and Joy got into it on The View during the first segment of Tuesday's show, and Meghan was making more sense than Joy. Uh-oh. I'm all for vote blue no matter who, but Mike Bloomberg.
Vote blue no matter who.
Different conversation for a different,
it's different show.
Laura's giving me the eye like, wrap it up.
Well, luckily I'm fast. And so my dishonorable mention, it's going to the Chicago Transit Authority. They decided to celebrate Black History Month by hiring a Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, Jesus.
To impersonator to greet passengers, and they tweeted photos about it. I'm just gonna leave that for you.
That sounds terrifying.
I'm gonna leave that for you, but we're gonna end on a high note.
That sounds
my
terrifying.
Honorable mention this week goes to Alex Newell, star of the new show on NBC called Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. You might remember Alex from, he was on Broadway in Once Upon a Time on this Island or something like that. Tony nominated, and I met him in Glee.
As
unique. And so shout out to him. It's a new show on NBC. Not saying the show is good, but you should check it out nonetheless.
I also want to shout out to my friend John C. Stewart, who's the love interest on that show. Everybody on that show is singing and dancing and turning
Did
it
you
out,
just say so we have to speed up?
First of all, don't and get snatched.
Wonderful. Last but not least, I want to give a shout out to Linda Holmes and everyone over at Pop Culture Happy Hour for shouting us out on her show last week, putting us in the newsletter. We really appreciate it. You should do exactly what Linda Holmes did and tell people about this show. Okay, give us some reviews, give us 5 stars, tell your mama, your daddy, your sister, and your brother too about all the goodness that we're doing over here. Yes, and your sibling. Thank you for correcting me. If you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, you can tweet at us at Fanti Podcast or follow us on Instagram at Fanti Podcast as well. You can send us an email at fanti@maximumfun.org. There's so many ways that you can get in contact with
us. We want to shout out the creator of our show music. His name is Corice. You can find him on the social medias. He's Corice. That's Corece. Also, our photo is done by the creative genius Ashley Nguyen, and I adore her. She's like, such a fantastic photographer. And our producer is Laura Swisher.
Laura Swisher. We've got to give a special thanks to Ms. Char Jocelle for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at Char Says So. That's Char with an S, and it says so, not say so. For those of y'all who it ain't clicking out there for, you know.
This has been is a production of Maximum Fun.
Wow, that was not.
I didn't think you were going to do that. This has been a production of Maximum Fun. We'll see you next week.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.